our struggle has been to help the children see that they can be happy with simple pleasures.
Elizabeth Elliot says, I think we might divide up all the people in the world into two classes, the complainers and the thankful. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, the challenging radio ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty and Passion and Purity, Learning to Bring Your Love Life Under God's Control. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
Jesus said, Come to me, all you who are tired and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Bend your neck to my yoke. Now, I'm not quoting those verses exactly. This is Elizabeth Elliot. And as some of you have recognized, I've changed the verses that I used to begin with. But I think we need to hear some other ones once in a while. And I'm just giving you a part of Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Bend your necks to my yoke is a vivid way of saying, start obeying the will of God as I did. Jesus, of course, obeyed the will of God. And I've been talking with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd. She's been telling us some very helpful things about raising children and being loyal to your husband. Valerie, you lived for how many years in a small, quiet southern town, Laurel, Mississippi?
9 years.
And then you made quite a major change.
Mm-hmm. 4 years ago, we moved to Southern California, which I was not real happy about, but I knew that God was calling us there. And one of the main questions the pulpit committee had for us before we decided to move was, why would you be afraid to move to Southern California? And I said I was afraid to raise my children in such a materialistic and affluent culture. And since we've been living there for 4 years, it has been a struggle because entertainment is so available to everybody. And the options of fun things you can do are just out there for everybody. And people in our church do all of the things, it seems like most of them do all the things that everybody else does. And my heart's desire has always been to raise my children in a simple country home with some space where the children have animals and garden and all that. But the Lord has put us in a very busy, affluent place. So our struggle has been to help the children see that they can be happy with simple pleasures, reading a book, sewing, just playing with each other, rather than going to Disneyland, going skiing, snow skiing, or San Diego Zoo. There's lots of things to do, but of course we don't have the money to be doing all the exciting things there are to do. And one of the families that we've gotten to know in the past couple of years loves the Southern California way of doing things. They love to try everything new, and they had a Nintendo before we did, and I had planned never to get a Nintendo, but sort of in a teasing way, they gave us a Nintendo for Christmas, knowing that we really didn't want one. But because they knew the children would love it, they thought it would be fun to give it to us. Well, my heart sank when it was given to us, and it has been a real struggle in the past 6 months to teach my children not to be overly excited or think that this is the most wonderful thing in the world, or to help them see that they cannot spend all their time on it. So we've, of course, had to limit the time. And I would rather that the thing be thrown out in the trash. But my husband doesn't agree with me. He says we need to discipline ourselves and limit them to it. So that's what we do, and I still would love to get rid of it. But I need to submit to my husband there and trust that the Lord's sovereignty will overrule and that my children will see that there are better things in life to do than play with Nintendo. Of course, only one or two of them really get that fired up about it. Another thing is eating out. This same family loves to eat out, and for a while they took us out quite often. We began to think this is too much. They're taking us out too much, and they shouldn't do this, and we shouldn't do this. And it began to make the children think that eating out was the most wonderful thing in the world, and that eating at home wasn't exciting at all, and, oh, we're just having rice and beans tonight. You know, nothing was exciting about the food I was cooking. So I've thought about how we want to teach them the value of of simple living and being thankful for the food that's on the table a lot since moving to California. Even desserts, even my 2.5-year-old, because we've had desserts a few times, thinks now that she's going to have a dessert almost after every meal. And we've taught them the rule that they're not allowed to ask for dessert at all unless I say something. So now she's into saying at the mealtime, she'll say, and our rule is we're not supposed to ask for dessert. And she looks at me hopefully.
This is a 2.5-year-old.
2.5-year-old. Hopefully she's thinking that I'm going to say we are having a dessert tonight. But I want so much for my children to be thankful for fewer pleasures and to be really appreciative of the special treats that we get rather than having treats all the time. So it's been a struggle, and I still would long for that simple place in the country, since both Walt and I grew up in very primitive surroundings and we were perfectly happy. Walt grew up in Zaire until he was 14, and they called it the bush, and I grew up in the jungle till I was 8, and we had so few things, we think it still would be ideal for our children to be raised in that kind of environment.
People do ask you from time to time if you feel that you were deprived at growing up in the jungle.
Oh, not at all. I loved it. So there was no deprivation at all.
Not deprived, but blessed, right?
I was blessed, yes.
We did a program some time ago. I read a letter from parents who had decided to get rid of television in their home, and it was at least a two-page letter with, I've forgotten how many reasons, maybe 25 reasons or so, why they did not want a television in their home. You would not believe the response that we got to that radio program. Mm-hmm. We got many, many letters, many from people who had done exactly that and others from people who were wishing that they could and had a situation similar to yours where one or the other wanted to keep the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's the husband who's planning to keep the TV, then the wife has got to go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that you would be as happy if the TV were dumped as that the Nintendo were dumped.
Definitely.
But how do you handle TV time?
Well, the quote is, if there's anything good on, can we watch something if there's something good on? And I usually say there's nothing good on. We do rent some family videos sometimes. And so Fridays or Saturdays, they may be allowed to watch a rented video that's a nice movie. There aren't any regular programs that they watch. If the TV is on for the news around supper time, they'll all be drawn to the TV. And the thing that I hate most is the commercials. There's so much sensuality and grab for materialism that I hate for them to see. We have allowed our older children to watch more than the younger ones, most often because the younger ones are going to bed. And I've found that the more their appetites are fed with TV, the more they become discontented with home and the more they think they have to have. So my general answer is no TV tonight, especially during the school year. We don't do school during the summer, but they are not allowed to watch it on school nights.
What do you think about Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers and Electric Company, these programs that are supposed to be very good for children, salutary, helpful?
I don't think they're very helpful. And again, it's that adult contrived entertainment that does not go along with a child's natural imagination. And
I would say that Mr. Rogers sort of does try to go along with a child's imagination.
Yes.
Do you have any reservations about his program?
No, I don't really have reservations. I think that feeling like they have to watch Mr. Rogers every day is wrong, because almost anything that we feel like we have to have without the Lord becomes unnecessary
and a burden. I'll never forget hearing a little girl say to me, "Is tomorrow Saturday?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "And then the next day, Sunday?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Oh, good. It's always a relief." And I said, "From what?" And she said, "Because I don't have to watch Mr. Rogers." I was absolutely amazed at that.
There are some things on Sesame Street that are not helpful in manners. There's wrong grammar, and there's a lot of disrespectfulness among the characters that I definitely don't want my children watching every day.
Well, and there's always this creeping politically correct language that's it's creeping into all programs, including Mr. Rogers. It's absurd to me when I hear people argue that in certain areas, television is not going to influence a child. I mean, no teenager is going to go out and kill somebody because he watched violence on television. They tell us that. It's not going to influence their behavior.
But it does.
But why would anybody be spending $1, let alone billions, on television commercials if television commercials were not going to influence people's behavior?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is just ridiculous.
It does influence them.
And it does. It influences them very powerfully. The language, their use of language, as you say, their arousing of new desires for things that they never even heard of before, and now
never
they can't live
wanted.
24 hours more without having this particular adult contrived toy or this pair of sunglasses or this set of dolls or whatever. You know the evils worse than I do, better than I do.
I'm just trying to teach my children to be thankful for what they have, and instead of thinking it's unfair that somebody else has something I don't have.
Do you see any evidence that they are learning this thankfulness and willingness to accept your word?
Sometimes, yes.
Every now and then,
every now and
little
then,
glimmer
see.
Of light on the subject.
Well,
thank you very much, Val, for being with us.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.